What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray, and we're talking about generational wealth, finance, business, and mental health. It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate. And on today's show, we have John Paul Reed. This brother's a four-star athlete. This brother went to FAMU, same college that I went to. This brother's from Jackson, Mississippi. This brother's the owner of Pure Momentum LLC and the owner of Athlete University. And his brother spent some time in the nonprofit sector. This brother's come on Black Men Sundays in 2023. He told us about his businesses. He told us about when it was time to pivot. So we're bringing him back on Black Men Sundays today. So John Paul Reed, man, welcome back to Black Men Sundays, brother. How you doing?
Man, thank you. Blessed, man. Moving. I appreciate the opportunity. Just good to see growth in all of us, man. I just amazing to see that the show is still going strong. Just proud of you, man. Proud of you. Just keep moving in that direction, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, life's been great, and I see life's been good with you. I see the last time we spoke to you, you were saying that your wife had her director's license, but you hadn't gotten yours yet. So tell me you got that license.
Absolutely.
Now.
I'm suited and booted. I'm suited and booted. You know, they had like we official. We're like a referee with a whistle now. So we I have my director's. And so we've had some other things happen. I recently wrote a book kind of detailing the outline and the actual process of the business and development. It's called the 3 to 6 p.m. blueprint, building successful kids and thriving communities. So basically it's a blueprint of the 3 to 6 p.m. time gap, in my opinion, is a vulnerable time for children. So basically it's that time where kids don't have coverage or discipline structure. So our facility and our program kind of come in during that time frame to offer that stability for kids. And so the book is about that, how to set one up, how to operate it, do's and don'ts, tell all about that kind of process.
I got you, man. So, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got you, but I'm going to say you got to slow down, man. You ready to ride the horse already? I'm just trying to get you a little water to warm the bus up. You already ready.
I'm here for a time, not a long time. You know what I mean?
That's what we talk about, sure. Man. Yeah. Because I was going to ask you my next question, but you already answered. I was going to say, man, you know, it's been since July 2023 since we've spoken to you. What's new? What's been going on? So I see you have this new book, the 3 to 6 p.m. Blueprint. I see you have that DCF license, which is important as well. But I want to kind of, you know, I feel like these days with the social media and all going on, I feel like a lot of these kids, like I'm hearing my wife talk to her friends and they're like, man, these kids ain't outside. They playing PlayStation, Xbox, they on TikTok, Twitter, they online. So how do you, you know, especially with the business that you're in, for the parents first, let's talk about the importance of physical activity with these kids.
Absolutely, man. The reality is, since COVID, we have adopted a sedentary lifestyle. And by sedentary, I mean, like, things have become a lot more confined or restricted. We have an excuse to be less active. And so I think that one thing that I urge parents to do is to, like, try to identify or find activities outside of the home that your child can be a part of. But that also means that as parents, we have to be active. You know what I mean? We got to make sure our energy levels are right. We got to make sure we're eating right. We got to make sure we're getting the proper rest because we can't lead if we don't have leading energy. So I think a big part of what's plaguing our youth nowadays is the reality of tired adults. You know, like the adults in this system have been carrying the system for such a long time, but we don't have the same habits that our parents had or our grandparents had. We don't eat as clean. So we've got to find ways to, like, get our energy levels back up so we can lead properly.
But let's talk about the importance of, like, extracurricular activities.
The reality is, I'll pivot like this, man. I was watching a video, and it was DJ Khaled, and someone was asking him about, like, you know, how his idea of success and what should a new and up-and-coming entrepreneur, somebody that's trying to trying to make it. He said, man, things have kind of reverted back to the old days where everything was hand to hand. Everything was person to person. We had to hand out flyers and kind of like that concept. So I think people got to reacclimate themselves to old fundamentals. I think that the biggest thing that we've got to remember is it seems like it's new, but everything just kind of like recycles every 80 years or so. History has a tendency to repeat itself. So we just have to reacclimate ourselves to like some old customs, you know, get back to doing the day-to-day grunt work, you know what I mean? Back to grind. That's kind of our philosophy and kind of how we look at it, how we approach things.
You know, I started the show off asking about that director's license. How is that different? Because like I said, people would think of a director's license as, oh, you trying to work for DCF. You're trying to DC, you know, people aren't understanding the specifics behind why you have that director's license. So let's talk about that.
The director's license allows us to operate in multiple capacities, right? So let's just be clear. So this is a certification that we're talking about, right? So you can actually be a provider, or you can be a director. You can go a step further and be actual director. So director's license allows me to operate in a capacity of being a director for my facility or another facility. I'll give you a quick example. So I currently have a partnership with the city of Orlando where I was going out and I was doing after school programs for the city of Orlando. We had a contract. And so now that was a pilot program that we operated. So now we're switching gears from our pilot program to we're dealing directly with the centers themselves. And because of my license, because of my certificate, right? Because my licensing, I now have the ability to deal with those centers directly. And I can basically essentially create another or satellite program because I have the ability to go in and stand in as an after-school program or as a director. So those kind of things are very, very important. You got to make sure your paperwork's right. You got to make sure that everything's buttoned up, because when you get to that point, when you got that contract or you got that opportunity on the table, if you don't have what you need on your end, then everything kind of stops. So I think that those things are very, very important as it pertains to kind of moving forward and growing in whatever business that you're in. You got to do the continuing education. Like, that's how I would phrase that. You have to do your continuing education. And so that director's license is just giving me, when my wife had hers, now I have mine. So now if I have to leave or move or go and move into the city of Orlando and do it and I execute a contract, now legally I can be there in that capacity.
And that's why I asked you that question, because I felt like when I was listening to the old show, you were like, okay, my wife has hers. I'm a few months away from getting mine. So I wanted to make sure. I might say, you ain't got it by now, bro. You tripping. So I'm glad you got yours.
yeah. It took me, don't get me wrong, like it wasn't as quick as I wanted, but my wife, she's that force, you know, that force multiplier. Some of us are lucky enough to get in our life where she's like, hey, like, you know, like the things that you talk about, like I'm the visionary, I'm the builder, but you got to be able to act in multiple capacities. So she urged me to do that.
Gotcha. I love that, man. And let's talk to the fellas for a minute, man. I know a lot of brothers, man. I got my LLC. I had my LLC for a minute. I'm just sitting on it. You know, I don't really have no clients. So I remember on the last show we spoke to you, you were talking about you actually sat on your LLC for a little bit because you was trying to build them clients up. So for the brothers out here listening that are like, okay, I done had my LLC for a little bit. I'm not really doing nothing with it. What advice would you give? And what advice would you give as far as establishing a client base?
The reality is you've got to know the community. You've got to be inundated in the community. So to establish a client base, you got to actually have a concept of who you want to service. So like my business, we're servicing families, kids, we're servicing schools, we're servicing municipalities. So the biggest thing is identifying like your ideal client. Like, who is your ideal client? Once you identify who you want your service to serve, now you can kind of re-engineer that and work backwards and say, okay, what kind of places are these people located? What kind of habits, what kind of hobbies, what kind of things are they into, what kind of activities, right? And so from there, we kind of put ourselves in a position to kind of like leverage those positions. Okay, now let's have some events. right? Everybody now, everything, you know, we say social media, but the reality is people still like to go out and have fun. So how do you create some kind of energy or some kind of excitement or some kind of activity around what you want? Like, these aren't the days and times where you could be straight up with people. People are a lot less straightforward. So now things are based, influencer based. Everything is very, very influencer based now. So finding someone who can attend some event, and then from that event, you collect data or collect information. And so from there, now we can kind of like leverage that into, okay, what do you need from us? I got this information from this person. What do you need from us? So it's a process, and every sector is a little bit different. But I think that if people start by identifying their ideal client and finding places and spaces that these people frequent, I think that gives you an opportunity to get shots up, from an athletic analogy.
I think where a lot of people have issues going in business is where they feel like, okay, this is the perfect time to do it. Now is the time. We got the money. We're established. But then I just remember the conversation with you. You kind of had the same flavor going on. And then, you know, in your building. You know, you say you get the nets up, everything popping, and then COVID happens. And then, so my question for you is, because you already answered on the last show. So if y'all want to know the answer to that, y'all got to listen back to that. But how did you know when to pivot and to know that was going to be the move that was going to give you some success over, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like with it, because I feel like with it, when you get at COVID, you're like, okay, I'm set up, I'm in here, everybody's in here doing their thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, this happens. So it kind of takes the wind out you a little bit. So let's talk about that conversation.
Yeah, man. You have a plan. Like I never forget, I heard Mike Tyson say, everybody has a plan until they get hit in the mouth. You know what I'm saying? So I think the biggest thing that I would say to anyone is business, life, make sure you're moving in purpose, right? Find your purpose. If you don't know your purpose, find what you're passionate about. If you don't know what you're passionate about, find what you like. You know what I mean? If you don't know what you like, identify things you would do for free. Once you find things you would do for free, now you can kind of work yourself into, okay, likes. You can work yourself from a like into a passion, from a passion into purpose. Once you find that purpose, now no matter what happens, you're committed and you're doing something that you really, really enjoy doing. A lot of times people are trying to do things for money and they're not doing things that are purposeful. They're not doing things that they were intended to do. And when things get tough, they're looking for an exit strategy. I think that when I got into my situation, I knew this is what I wanted to do. So no matter what challenge arise, I was ready because I was in my purpose. And I think that that's the biggest thing that people have to identify. People got to identify is what their purpose is. I think purpose is everything. That's the one thing that even since me and you've had our last conversation, I have been in my purpose. So from that position, once you find your purpose, you're not going to be able to move. You're not going to be able to wave. You're not going to be knocked off your square. You're going to feel like, okay, you know what? I'm comfortable. I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So now, no matter what happens, I'm going to sit still and I'm going to move. But a lot of us don't identify our purpose first. We put profit before purpose. And that's where we kind of get ourselves. That's where we're shaky. That's where our ground, our foundation isn't strong.
How do you prioritize business being an entrepreneur, like on a day like this? How do you prioritize it? Because I know there's got to be some days. Because I know there's got to be some days where you're like, okay, I got X, Y, Z to do. But then, you know, you might get, you know, auntie and them, so-and-so might call you. And now you don't get any of that done. So how are you able to get your tasks done and prioritize your business when all this is going on?
Man, if I'm going to be honest with you guys, I'm going to give you an insight into my personal process. Probably about a year ago, maybe a little longer, I got to a point where my capacity, I realized like I needed more capacity to do the things that I desired to do. And so I began this process of centering myself every day, or every, I try to do it every day, but it becomes a thing where I'm committed to doing 4 days a week. My philosophy with anything is, if it's 7 days in a week, if we do it 4 days, we are building a positive habit. If we're doing it 3 days or less, we're really not, because we're doing it less than we are doing it. So I started this process of what I call SIS, sitting in silence. And I sit in that, and that silence is for me to be affirmative or definitive about what I want to accomplish that day. So no matter what happens, I mean, things are always going to come up, but there are certain things that when I verbalize it, you know, from me, just being like my person, my being, that I am going to do, right? And so I've just got to figure out a way. So what I began to do is I began to ask for more capacity. I began to desire more capacity. I began to desire to request or want the ability to do more, like not to want more or to receive more, but to be in the mindset to have the time, energy, effort, you know, capacity to do more. And that has put me on a different playing field. If I ask for more money, but I don't have more understanding or more time, you know, it just kind of seems like it's putting the cart before the horse. You know what I'm saying? So I've changed the things that I desire. Instead of desiring the end result, I desire those things that help me get to the end result. And it's made things a lot easier for me. And then I also don't take myself too serious. You know, like here I am sitting in a McDonald's with my kids. I'm doing a podcast. The podcast is important because it's an opportunity to kind of continue to connect with people, because that's one of the things that I've struggled with over the last couple of years. Well, last 10 years, I built a business, but actually talking about the business, I come up in that era where it was kind of corny to talk about yourself. And now I find myself in an era where if you're not talking about yourself, you're losing, you know? So finding that balance is where I find myself as just personally. You know, when we came up, it wasn't cool to brag about yourself. You know, you let other people do that. But now, if you're not self-promoting, if you're not out here in front, you're kind of like giving yourself the best chance to be successful. And so we all have to find ways to like better ourselves. You know, we're all on this journey of personal exploration and personal growth. So I just commit myself to the process every day. I know it's not going to be perfect, but I'm willing to grow, and I'm willing to show anyone around me what it takes to grow. And I think people see the humanity, the honesty in that, and they identify with that.
A lot of people want to talk about generational wealth now. You know, generational wealth is sexy. It's a hot topic. But a lot of people said, okay, well, you know what? I didn't really understand it then. I'm in my 40s, my 50s, might be in my 60s. I want my time back, though. So from your point of view, how can we buy our time back?
No, it's so funny because I'm going to be honest with you, Corey. That's why I love your show, because I tell people, like, first thing we do is we create time, right? We go, we get our own time. So instead of working, we find a way to get as much as we can for that time. And then we use that excess money to buy our time back. That's actually a concept that I talk that I kind of consult on as far as entrepreneurs, right? And so that's why I laughed. But the reality is we have to work in purpose. You have to identify something that you love, that you are willing to do more than other people, because you have to put, I think I may have spoken on this last time we talked, but 10,000 hours. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called The Tipping Point, and the concept is it takes 10,000 hours to be great at something, right? And so what I want to highlight is that time, that 10,000 hours, we've got to establish that time to separate ourselves from our peers in that discipline, in that arena, in that area, right? In the expertise. And once we separate ourselves, now we have a monetizable skill set. We have a monetizable something we can go out into the market and charge for, and people can patronize. And then from there, we use that money to buy our time back. Now, in buying our time back, right, that looks that can be done in a different way, a lot of different ways. We can buy our time back by investing in real estate. We can buy our time back investing in smaller businesses. I heard a guy say that, hey, man, don't go out and start a brand new business. Go and buy a business. There are a lot of people from the baby boomer generation whose kids don't want to run their businesses. So go out and purchase an existing business, which is a strategy that I got a friend of mine that buys businesses. Guy actually uses, I should get him on the show, but Glenn is a beast. Glenn bought a insurance company for a dollar. He purchased it for a dollar. You know, it's real talk. So I think that when we talk about generational wealth, the first thing we have to find is, I'm going to go back to purpose, because once we identify what we're here to do, we'll sit still long enough to get good at doing it. And then once we sit still long enough, it's not as much about finding the client base as much as people identifying and realizing, like, I want to be around that person. We're really selling ourselves, you know, at the end of the day. I might package it in baseball or sports or mentorship or entrepreneurial consulting, but people are enamored with the fact that I believe in me and that I'm confident enough to speak on me. And I think that that's at the end of the day, that's at the end of the day what a lot of people want for themselves. Like, we watch entertainers and musicians and athletes on TV because we're like, man, how do they have the confidence to do it? But the reality is they just sat still long enough to got good enough or got a proficient enough at something for others to see their belief in themselves. And that's what it is. We all want to believe in ourselves in something. But a lot of us, we push our energy in a lot of different areas, you know. So, generational wealth to me is figuring out where we want to be and how we want to monetize that skill set. And then from there, it's all capital, you know. Where are we investing? One thing that I've done is I've created a men's group. It's called the Maven Group, which is a group where we basically do part investment. But what's unique about our group is everybody has to have a passion project. So we're not just making money. We did a vision mapping workshop for some young men, which is where you come down and create vision boards, faith, family, finances, fun, and fitness. And you kind of put down on these boards what these things look like. And so we don't just do investments, we also do passion projects. And what I've learned is, what I've realized is, these passion projects, we get to know who everyone is, and we know that when we invest with each other, that we can trust that person because we've seen their passion. We've seen them do things that money wasn't the purpose, what money wasn't the number one thing. So I feel like putting passion projects in front of investments and understanding that we have to be vessels, you know, we got to let whatever you believe, like, hey, listen, like, everybody don't believe in God, everybody don't believe in this, everybody don't believe in that. But one thing everybody understand is something is keeping this thing from blowing up every day, right? So with that said, we have to align with something, however, whatever. And when you find that alignment, things just kind of have a tendency to kind of work themselves out. So for me, generational wealth is alignment over a period of time.
Hey, this is Kalali Dope Bay, man. First of all, thanks for sharing some time with us, man. In running your own business, what have you found, or what did you think was like the biggest challenge for you to overcome?
Getting up in the morning and being consistent. Honestly, I'm gonna be honest with you, we're gonna keep it a buck. Like, this real, this is us talking to us. This is like what changed, what took me from like where I was at. Like, I heard Denzel say this, don't mistake movement for progress. And when he said it, it just made me sit still and realize, like, I got a lot going on, but am I really, really, really focused? Am I just like buying into that mindset that because I'm moving, I got a lot going on, I'm a big deal? And it's not about me being a big deal. It's about, am I getting out of this what I say I need to be whole? Am I getting what I need out of it? And so, like I was telling Corey, he asked a question about a year and a half ago, I committed to getting my butt up at 5:30 in the morning, and I sit in silence. I'm gonna share this with you guys, and I normally don't, because we're in this world now where everybody's very critical, and I just feel like sometimes we got to tell people things that work for us and just figure out, and they can figure it out. So I've been on this thing recently where, I want to reach my potential, man. Like, I'm not just out here just trying to make money. I want to impact. I want to make sure that the legacy I leave is impactful, right? So I listened to this thing called The Wisdom of Solomon, and what it's by Napoleon Hill. And Napoleon Hill kind of goes into detail. It's fine on YouTube. And it's a couple of core principles that are in it, right? And one of the core principles was, how can I manage millions if I can't manage my schedule? How can I expect to run an empire or build an empire if I can't be consistent with what I get up and what I do and how I interact? And so just a quick proof of it happening. My daughter would always, we would, man, we always pushing it to the limit, getting kids to school. You got kids, so you know how it is. And it's my responsibility. I take the responsibility to get them up. But I was always 5 minutes on time or 5 minutes late. So once I started getting up at 5:30, some mornings 5 a.m., I got everything done. I would sit down. I would ask myself for an hour. I would sit with 30 minutes. I would sit for about 30 minutes. I would sit for about 15, 20 minutes and with nothing. I won't say anything or have any intention. And I just kind of be, right? Just exist, right? And then after that, my timer goes off and I switch to my mindset of asking, what do I need to do or know to achieve what it is I want to achieve? And I sit with that for about 20 or 30 minutes. And then from there, after that, I will go to my whatever it is on my schedule, whether that's posting, whether that's trying to secure opportunities for partnerships. And then after that, I go to dad mode and preparing my family's day. And so right about, my kids might have to be in school at 8 o'clock. So right about 6:30, now I got 30 minutes to get the lunches, to get the clothes, take the clothes out, to do the things that I needed to do. And then by the time they wake up at 7 o'clock, I look like super dad, super husband. You know what I'm saying? But I also had to change some habits on the back end of my day. I can't watch the Warriors games. I'm a Steph Curry fan. I can't watch the Warriors game to end every time because that's gonna keep me from getting into bed, So it was just some things I had to kind of rectify. But if you ask me the one thing that I say that I did, it's getting up 5:30 in the morning, straight like that.
That's cool, man. I mean, and that's really interesting. The reason I'm over here chuckling is because it's because I'm going through a similar stage in my life right now too, where it's like last year I was doing a lot of catch up work, because of stuff you're talking about, staying up late watching the Warriors game, or staying up late. I'm a Lakers
West
fan, so
Coast.
staying up late watching the
No,
Lakers
Lakers
game.
games. I catch up last. Hey, man, Brian coming up on his last couple seasons, man. Like,
Yeah,
you
you're
know, you
trying,
don't
you
take it
know.
for granted. It's
Right,
true,
right.
but sometimes,
Yeah.
like, we got to record that game, bro. Like,
Yeah,
because Bron, we watching the glory of him because he did those things,
Right,
So if
right.
we sat with Bron, if we sat with Bron, Bron would say, "Hey, my dude,
Gonna
like,
be
I
watching.
appreciate your support, but record me, bro. I want you to be on the left and right of me when we go into these boardrooms because I need help." And so I had to really step back and just like I always refer to different stories. So I'm a TI fan. TI had a song back in the day off of it's off of I'm Serious, and then he had another one on TI versus TIP called TI versus TIP. And he said, "How many people real enough to stand and get a shuffle straight?" You know what I'm saying? Like, can you straighten yourself? Like, real talk. Like, we all talk about men, we all talk about this accountability partners, but can you look yourself in the eye and just say that, like, I'm doing what I say I need to do to get out of this lot, the seven, the six scores and ten, right? That's what the Bible says, six scores and ten,
Let's
70
go.
summers, Am I really putting in to get out what I say I want to get out? Because, like, shit, I'm at 40 right now, So, hey, we can look at this, we can be naive all we want, but time is rewinding. And, like, my lot is my lot, your lot is your lot, Corey's lot is Corey's lot. So we got to make sure that we, I got a cousin, man. He said, "You got to sweat in, man. You got to sweat in. you got to sweat in. And basically, you know, we Mississippi country. So what he's saying is you got to put that sweat equity in. You got to sweat in. If you're not sweating in every day, how can you expect to receive a return? It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And some people have that ingrained in their DNA. Some cultures do. And then some of us allow what we see on TV to create this false security. And it's just like, we're just like diluting ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
And those of us that we look up to have a clear understanding of what it takes. So I'm just trying to find a way to hold myself accountable and have like an almost like a what's the word? What's it called? An audit. I try to audit myself once a week.
That's cool.
Like,
yeah.
Like, hey, am I using my time wisely? Did I do this? Mm-hmm. And nobody's perfect. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm perfect, but I am saying that regardless of whether I'm aware of it or not, it's a reality.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's, like I said, I'm in a similar stage where I was like, man, I got to go to bed, man. I can't stay up. I'm trying to make it off like four hours of sleep. It ain't happening.
It ain't going to work, man. You ain't paid, man. Hey, we on the other side of this thing, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the thing is, the way time goes, the way history goes, it's even moving to a point where we are even further back because time moves faster now. The kids are developing faster. So even now, a 40-year-old now, it ain't like a 40-year-old 20 years ago, bro. Like, at 40, you almost 50. Just the way you're experiencing it. Like, we have a saying, like, in the city, like, my family from Chicago, they would say, like, that you got alley miles on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, alley miles on the car is different. You know, you're early, you know what I'm saying?
You got alley miles exactly on what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? These ain't highway miles.
Exactly. Like LeBron, right? LeBron played in the AAU era. Them players that played in the AAU era, they got more tread on them. They ain't got as much tread on them tires as guys that played before that. They got more usage, you know what I'm saying? So we got to realize that, man. You know, it's only so many bullets in the gun, man, you know? And we unks, man. We the unks. You know, one of my kids called me unk. I was like, hold on, bro. Like, you know, like, then I had to step back and be like, I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah.
It hit me in that moment. And it's a beautiful thing because I got partners that didn't make it. You got partners that didn't make it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We all know. I had a friend of mine just passed recently. It hit me like, dang. Like, so I got to make sure that I'm making sure my time is meaningful.
I really enjoy the concept of SIS that you introduced of sitting in stillness. Would you say that the ability to sit in stillness for that 30 minutes that you say you do every day has been the major contributing factor to you being able to find the additional capacity you need to continue to do the things that you want to do?
100%, no doubt, not a question. The reality of it is, man, like, if I'm sitting here and I'm being honest with you, we get everything, like we as people, because of the society we live in and how life is, we have no concept of who and what we truly are. Mm. Meaning, we don't really know, and the system doesn't want us to know because it profits off of our lack of knowledge. It profits off of it. It gets us to do less and be less because we are not in tune with like our true north or our true north. We don't really know who and what we are. Like, we don't know what we need on a day-to-day basis. We don't know how our energy works. We don't know what food we need to eat. We don't know, shoot, man, to be honest, like, and just us having a conversation, most of us who are here don't know where we came from. Right. You know, I'll just put it like that. Let's just say it like that. So we are not knowledgeable. Let's say we were to go back 1,000 years and you say a person, like, I'm a history buff, so let's say Genghis Khan, or let's say Alexander the Great. Let's say one of these people that achieved something that was most men thought was impossible, right? Right? Cleopatra, whoever. They knew who and what they were. They had a process. They knew who they, what they ate, what they prayed to, what they spent their time doing. They got that information from people that came before them. So they achieved based on a system or a process. We have no system and no process. All of us are creating one. And those of us that do create it, it's almost like the system allows us to pluck ourselves out. And now the others can't benefit from that. You know what I mean? So, but yes, like, yes, I say that, that sitting in silence, that was a show called, back in the day, I forgot the name of it. I'm gonna text you, but I think the one on the show, the guy said, all of a man's problems stem from his inability to sit quietly in a room. You know, all this stuff, I'm not trying to be all deep and this and that, but as I get to this point in my life, the things that I don't have that I do want, I can directly attribute them to my inability to have a plan and be purposeful in my movements. Because I've been in every opportunity, I've had every opportunity, I've had this, I've had that, I've been here, I talked to this, I talked to that, but either I was firm or I was not firm. I was purposeful, I knew what I was doing, or I didn't know what I was doing. And so I got to look back and say that the one thing that I haven't done was that. So yeah, I would say that sitting in silence at the beginning of the day, being intentional, being purposeful, you know, not touching the world, not touching my phone has made a big, big difference because it's given me clarity and it allows me time to speak to, okay, let's say this. Let's say we do believe in God. Let's say we do believe that if we ask or by speaking, we ask and we create because we are beings, right? Let's say God creates through thought and because all there is thought and then we create through thought and our speech allows us to be in tune with our thought and we speak things into existence. Well, if that's true, we speak things into existence every day. We either believe it or not, but if it's true, you know, ignorance of the law doesn't excuse you from it. You know, just because you don't believe in gravity doesn't mean you can walk off a building and float. You know what I'm saying? So just because we are not aware of what's real doesn't mean it doesn't affect us. And so I'm just starting to pay attention to things that I didn't pay attention to when I was younger. And the things that I'm paying attention to now are turning a benefit, are turning a profit. But it's not a profit. It's a being in purpose. And the purpose is leading to profit. You know what I'm saying? It's not I'm trying to make a profit, so I'm going to do whatever I need to make a profit. It's my alignment is allowing me to receive that which is owed to me. You know what I'm saying? It's just a little different. It's just kind of,
yes.
You know, and this is things that I found for myself. See, I'm sitting here as a man 40 years old. I was in a car accident at 27 when I was in spring training with getting an opportunity to go to spring training with the Phillies and a guy hit me going 70 miles an hour. So I know I could not be here having this conversation. Like I can look at my phone. That's one of the few pictures I keep in my phone every time I get a new phone. And I can always look at that picture at my crumbled up car. And one of my friends that didn't make it, one of the guys that was in the car with me, he didn't survive. We were sitting at a light, you know, 25, 26, 27 year old guys chasing a dream. And a guy hit us going 70 miles an hour and he didn't make it. And I'm here talking to you. So these are things that I know for me. So I'm not like asking for confirmation. I'm not trying to get nobody to believe me. I'm just telling you like, hey, you need to get up, you need to sit still, and you need to like, you need to ask God, ask the universe for the understanding and knowledge and ability to carry that load you want to carry because it's a load. Because with that load comes the dependence of other people. You know what I'm saying? You know, like even in our system, not to go too deep, but slavery lends itself to dependency. And when you can't hold people up, you can't enslave them. You know what I'm saying? And that's what happened. They just couldn't hold us up that long. And now you just got us out here figuring it out for ourselves. But we got to go internally because that's where it always was anyway. It was internal.
Yeah, man. No, that's deep, man. I appreciate it, man. You definitely dropped some gems there. You know what I'm saying? So, I really appreciate it.
You know, and I'm only sharing what other people have told and what I've learned. It's not like my knowledge. I don't ever want to come off as a person that's all knowing all this, all that. No, man. Like even Solomon, man, he asked for knowledge and discernment.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like David bestowed knowledge of God to him. It wasn't a birthright. Right. He had an opportunity to ask for what he wanted to ask for, and he asked for the right thing.
That's it.
So it comes to a point where it's on us, but we have to profess. We got to be intentional about what our motives are with our women, with our children, with our move. Like, okay, God can give you $1 million, but what you going to do with it? If your $1 million is going to let you buy a car, okay, but are you going to let everybody in the hood drive the car? You know what I'm saying? Sure. Like, it's got to have some kind of benefit for the overall good of everybody. And then It's okay. But if it's just you, you're not that important. No one is. You know what I'm saying? None of us are. Yeah. I'm not nobody. You know, yeah. So we all just trying to figure it out together, man. But platforms like this, so that's why I tell Corey, man, platforms like this are just therapeutic. You know what I mean? Just to have this conversation on a Sunday to stop me and be able to share this moment is just everything, man. Everything, to be honest.
It's definitely a blessing, man. Definitely a blessing. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Corey, man. Appreciate you.
No, facts.
Yeah, John Paul Reed, man. You enjoy yourself on Black Men Sundays, brother?
Man, like, I'm telling you, man, every time I come on here, man, it's a relief, man. I don't get to talk like this, man. We don't have space like this, Corey. This is what we need, because now you can see who we truly are. You can see who we are through your platform. We don't know. Like, we don't know, man. We just need it, though. I'm telling you, bro, keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
But before I let you get out of here, man, the 3-6 blueprint, let's talk about that a little bit, because that's a new movement that you got going on in the book. Let's talk about that right now.
Man, I've been here 10 years, so I put 6 years into that, 6 to 10 years. So that is the culmination of my life's work so far. Like, we've taken that model, and now we're bottling that model up, and we're trying to push that model as a message to cities, counties, schools, school districts, principals, teachers, parents, program directors. Like, hey, look, not saying it's the only way, but this system works because it accounts for parents' inability to lead with their money. There's a chapter in the book called If Your Parents Couldn't, You Didn't. And that, to me, encompasses where we are in a society where money is the number one barrier to entry. So our system, you know, to put a bow on this, basically allows for people who do not have that financial foundation to still participate and get their kids adequate service, adequate development and exposure, because that's what it's really about at the end of the day. So the book just talks about what we've been doing for the last 10 years, and it puts it in a nice, nice, neat bow. It's some narratives inside of it. It's some opportunity. It's some real life lessons, some of my life lessons and things that I went through. So it was cool. Like Willie Barnes from Willie James Publishing helped me self-publish the book. You know, so self-publishing is a real thing. If people think they can't write a book, you can write a book. It's not hard as you think it is. But at the same time, you have to be intentional. But yeah, man, it was a beautiful thing, beautiful process, and it's out there for the world. And we just want people to receive it and use it as a resource. That's it. You know, if it's beneficial, if it's something you need, use it. If it's something somebody else need, use it. If it's not for you, good luck and Godspeed. But you know, we put a lot of intention and purpose into it, and so we want it to be received as such. For sure.
Well, I love that, man. You said if your parents couldn't, you didn't. That kind of hits a little different. And that's why I give back. That's why I do my turkey drive. That's why Black Men Sundays, you know, outside of the podcast, because I really feel like the podcast is more for the parents, you know what I'm saying? But when I'm in the community talking to the kids at the Boys and Girls Clubs, friends, community centers, New Journey Youth Center, which I send some kids to your place up in Sanford, and my thing about it
for
is
sure.
You know, it's like, man, if your parents couldn't, you didn't. That breaks my heart, because I'm like, well, absolutely. I ain't your parent, but because you know what it breaks my heart, because I'm like, I ain't your parent, but I did. Let's go.
Absolutely. And we need that. We need people like that. We need those, you know, big uncles, brothers, sisters, you know, mentors. We need those people to step in, because, man, a lot of what doesn't happen or does happen in America has to do with money. And some of the best people just don't get an opportunity. And those types of things have to, those days have to be gone, man. It's 2026. You know, we dealing with kids whose parents qualify based on their income. So we giving kids, you know, top quality everything because of our paperwork. And that's basically at the heart of it. Like, nobody should be left out because a parent, you know, who wants to can when the funds are there. You know, like, I go to these cities and counties, I'm like, I don't need no money from you, bro. I just need a building you're not using no more. I don't need no money. The money's already there. All we doing is putting people in position and managing and facilitate, you know. But it's time to get these kids. It's time for that not to be an excuse. You know what I mean? Like, money being an excuse in 2026 is kind of corny to me. You know what I mean? It just show you don't really care, which there's people out there like that, but we not those people.
Yeah, man. I appreciate that, man. John Paul Reed, man. Thanks for coming back on Black Men Sundays. You came back July 2023 around my mom's birthday. So I appreciate you coming back. You know, I saw you hit me up this morning like, hey, what we talking? I'm like, bro, I got you. Like, you already a gem. You already a gem.
Hey, man. Like, I appreciate the platform. I please faith the platform, the opportunity, and I'll come back anytime you want me. Anytime you want me, for sure. It's a Black Man Sunday.